Want to spend more time in the great outdoors? Join our family as we share insights, suggestions, and highlights of our adventures. It's time now for Glampin' and River Roamin' with the Tilleries. Well, hi, River Roamers.
Hello, River Roamers.
Back in Florida, kids have already
started school.
Restarted school. So we are going to be sharing the balance of our big summer trip with you. And my goodness, it was pretty awesome. If you caught the earlier episode, we went to the Big Bend of Florida.
Right.
Kind of known as like the armpit. And it happened to be scallop season, which we learned on this particular leg of the journey. But we ended up being like 8 nights, 9 days on this journey because it's kind of far. And so we did 64 through 69 on our last podcast. And so this at Shell Island Fish Camp gave us number 70 right off the rip. The day we arrived, because it was pretty cool. It's a marina and motel with some rooms being pet friendly, in addition to a large RV park and then a smaller RV section that's kind of attached to the marina's general store.
They also had cottages.
Yeah, they did have some cottages.
They had some nice cottages. Shell Island Fish Camp.
In St. Marks, which really was only about a 45-minute drive due east of the Occlokony State Park, which we had conquered so many rivers. So we arrived. It's a very small town. Even its waterfront was semi-abandoned. You could tell that there had been more commerce at one time.
Right.
Regardless, this fish camp was established in the 40s and still has a good following, although I do believe it was under relatively new ownership. The gentleman was really nice.
It was family-owned for several generations, and then a close friend of the family ended up buying the property a couple years ago.
Real nice gentleman. Jeff, I do believe.
His name was Jeff.
So we arrived, check-in was inside the general store. The general store had all sorts of things you could want, from souvenir hats and shirts to snacks and cold beverages. They even had toiletries. And then in the back was a whole like fishing emporium with, with like jigs and everything, but also live bait.
They sold live bait.
Yep. And then they had a giant ice house attached to it, which was kind of cool. It was one of those that they give you like a big shovel. You walk into the ice house.
You just take your cooler in there and fill it up with ice.
That was a pretty cool thing. But anyhow, we checked in and we stayed in, we got two setups, which was kind of nice because our little sliding camper, the bed that our son stays on is, really small. I think it's like less than a twin size.
Yeah, fair. It's less than a single.
Poor boy. And so because this was so many nights, on the second and third leg, we had different sleeping arrangements. So mom and dad and dog Seeker stayed in the sliding camper. And our spot was water spot number one that had like a covered.
A covered what?
Picnic table. With right next to the boat ramp.
Yes.
And then also one of the motel rooms for Charlie.
Yeah, he really liked that idea.
And it wasn't anything fancy, the motel room. It was quite literally a motel room at a fish camp, but it had its own little private bathroom.
TV.
And a TV straight from the early 1990s. And that was cool.
Air conditioning.
So once we got there, we offloaded, and then the goal was to get the boat in the water before nightfall, and hopefully once we got settled in, maybe even go for a cruise. So Dad and Seeger backed up the boat. Charlie was in the boat, and we were able to launch. He found a great spot to park it.
And our campsite was site number one, which was right next to the boat ramp. And this boat ramp, folks, was broken and cracked, and it was probably the most precarious boat ramp we've ever launched in.
But it went well.
It did. It went very well.
And we offloaded quicker than we thought, made some slushies, and set forth. The new owner, he was up coming up on his golf cart, and he gave us some pretty good advice.
He did. Yep. Where to go, what to do.
So right away, he had said to Michael, you know, you're going at a good time to go down the Wakulla River, which was our river number 70.
It was low tide, and when you're on the Wakulla River, which was a spring-fed river, so it's super clear water, I mean, there's a lot of seagrass. So much seagrass, you know, that the manatees eat and all that. But with the low tide, you could see the grass line, so it kind of just gave you basically a roadway to follow, which was
perfect.
Super cool.
Yeah, because the next day, that did not exist on the time frame.
Right, so I just kind of had to follow the
line. We were able to follow our route, thankfully. Yeah. But, the seagrass is so abundant. Oh, my goodness. GPS. So good in your prop.
Oh, yeah. We had to stop a couple times and get it out. But
so, anyhow, we didn't really realize it was spring-fed right away.
We did not know that it was spring-fed at all. No.
We didn't know until we got on the water. Right. And then, wow. It was like, are you looking right through to the bottom? Is it just me?
Bonus.
And it really wasn't overly built residentially either.
There were quite a few homes.
There were some homes.
Once you got up a little bit.
Yeah, but there was a big stretch of it that was still very
wilderness.
Primitive. And then you get to the very head of Wakulla Springs, and there's this beautiful castle thing overlooking the head, and a baron like back in the late 1800s saw this.
A lot of that wilderness land there, Jeff was telling me, is owned by that gunpowder company. And a lot of people try and hunt it and stuff like that. You're not allowed to unless you have permission from that company. So a lot of that wilderness land is owned by that gunpowder company, including the area we stopped at with the little campgrounds and stuff.
Yeah, that had like a little covered pavilion and little bathhouses
and set up bathrooms.
We really appreciate them letting us borrow it for a few moments. Our dog really enjoyed it too. But gosh, that was just gorgeous. So river number 70, the Wakulla River, we had no idea what to expect. For some reason in my head, I just thought it was going to be a very fresh water type of river. Thick, dark, murky, complete opposite. We couldn't have been more delighted. And, we got back and got to grill out that night. And it was that evening, once our son went to bed, that we met the father and his daughters that were there on their first annual father-daughter scalloping trip.
Right.
And so we had no idea it was even scalloping season at that time. The rest of the southern area of Florida, theirs had already elapsed. But the further up, in the Big Bend area, it was still going on at the end of July. So that was kind of cool to learn about. And we got to chat with the father who comes every year with his boys. They always do the boy trip.
Right.
So it was the first year that they decided to do a daughter trip, which was cool. And the one teenage girl, 15, same age almost as our son, and she had me out there trying to catch a poisonous snake, releasing a blue crab from its net. I'm like, this is just so adventurous. And I couldn't wait to wake my son the next morning and tell him everything I did when he went to sleep. Like, mom was a real woodsy girl. I was out there. But he shared some coordinates with us for a scallop spot.
He did.
That became our goal for the next day.
Took us about an hour and a half to get there because our little pontoon boat doesn't go very fast.
Well, not to mention you can't really cut across.
No, we probably could have, but I just followed the channel, and you go all the way to the end of the channel, all the way out in the Appalachian Bay, and then go east, and you went for about, I don't know, 12 miles.
Yeah.
And we finally found it. It was in about 8 feet of water, and we got a bunch of scallops. The first time we ever actually got to go scalloping, which was really cool.
Yeah, which, we had the goggles, and we had the
snorkel
setup.
Yep.
And we had some fins. So that worked out really great. We always carry them on the River Roamer, as well as some water shoes. So that worked out nicely. And we really weren't greedy. I think you can get, like, up to 2 5-gallon buckets per boat. But we only got enough for an appetizer for ourselves.
No, each person with a fishing license is allowed 1 5-gallon bucket full.
Got it.
So we got about a half a 5-gallon bucket because we were only going to take what we were going to eat that night. And they're just little bay scallops. So they're, you know, they're the size of a quarter maybe if you get lucky.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not very big. So a half a bucket, I shucked them all, got them all out. We made a awesome...
Succotash
with bacon and apples and onions, all sauteed and rendered down. Throw the scallops in there last, salt, pepper. It was really good.
But yeah, so we went there, and but on the journey to get out there was the St. Marks River, number 71 for our river roaming adventure purposes. And then it took so long to get out there, and then everyone was a little bit pooped after the scalloping that we went back in, and our boy, our son Charlie, wanted to rest. And so
made a slushy.
We made a slushy and then took the journey up the opposite way of the St. Marks.
Right, which was more more like a river and not like you're going out to a bay.
Yeah. And there was more businesses. In fact, where we are in the Treasure Coast, we have one of our favorite spots. It's called Riverside Cafe, and it's a great spot to come to by boat. And
it's the Riverside Cafe that Jake Owen sings about in his country songs.
That's right. And they had their own Riverside Cafe up there on the St. Marks River. And it was also popping, a little hot spot, you could tell. But there was lots of homes around there. And then we... made it further around the bend, and it was just pure glass, like the reflection from the trees, so crystal clear on the water. Mirror, it was incredible. Mm-hmm. Mirror image. So then we came back and enjoyed a delicious dinner, had some gourmet burgers after that awesome succotash, and beautiful sunset night. There was this little teenage alligator that kept hanging out at our spot too. He just was like there both nights.
It doesn't help that the boy was feeding him either, so
I don't think he was.
Potato chips.
Oh jeez. Anyhow,
but you could tell that alligator was fed by a lot of people.
So we enjoyed that. I mean, it was a really cool, just a beautiful night. Everyone slept so well because we had used so much energy. And the next morning, it was time to load up and roll out, with our first destination being JB's Tires in Perry, because we had blown our tire.
As we said in our last podcast, we blew a tire.
So we wanted to be able to change out the spare, put it back, blah, blah, blah. And then that worked out really well, but we knew we wanted to get there, and who knew how long it was going to take. And then in the end, it only took like 5 minutes.
After the whole debacle with a timber truck.
Yeah, because Dad's not the most observant sometimes.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. But Shell Island Fish Camp, we absolutely loved it.
Five out of five campfires.
You betcha. And if it were closer, I feel like we'd be there quite often.
Yeah, we would.
Mm-hmm. So rivers 70 and 71, the Wakulla, the St. Marks, and then we'll be sharing the final leg of our summer adventure that just happens to be on Mom's birthday.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
39.
Oh, my goodness. Until next, happy river roaming.
Later, roamers.
Time for a camp in Corny.
Hey, honey. Yeah. Why are water beds so bouncy?
Why?
Because they're filled with spring water.
Thanks for tuning in.
If you dig it, please subscribe.
And be sure to check us out online at riverromanwiththetilleries.com.